Good morning and welcome to this special Sunday service, whether you are here or at home. Good morning and welcome to this special Sunday service, whether here or at home later. If you are visiting Emmanuel for the first time, please introduce yourself to us after the service. Refreshments will be available after the service, and I think everybody knows they're in the church hall at the back of the church. Tea and chat this week will take place in our church hall on Tuesday the 11th of April at 14:30, 2:30. Please come along if you are able. During this service, you'll be asked to bring your flowers to decorate our bare cross, to prepare it as a symbol for hope and peace. If anyone in the congregation knows of someone who is in need of a few flowers, please see Jan Ruddle after the service. Jean is our reader today. The reading is from Matthew 28, verses 1 to 10, and can be found on page 32 of the New Testament Bible. As there are no other announcements, so I shall now light our Christ candle whilst we quietly prepare for our special service.
Good morning and welcome to our Resurrection Sunday service. And looking at you all, I can see that literally from north and south, from east and west, from near and far, it is a delight and a joy to have you with us this morning. And our prayer is that this Sunday, the message of this Sunday, will support you, will guide you, will help you in the everyday and the extraordinary of life. Before anything else, sort of in opposition to, not opposition, that's terrible, sorry, in difference to the message of the resurrection, I want to share with the congregation the very sad news that Jean Campbell passed away this morning at 2:00. She was very deteriorated. She was off food and drink. I saw her yesterday. I was with her. There was a time of prayer. And definitely, she would not have felt happy seeing herself as she was yesterday. To those who remember Jean clearly, there was no varnish on her nails that matched anything else she had, and that, for Jean Campbell, was possibly the unforgivable moment of life. So we pray for the family, and we thank God for her life, for her sense of humor, and she is at peace. And remember the family at this time. And the good news in all this is that Ian, on Tuesday, will be moved to a home. Those of you who probably don't know, Sheraton is closing down as from April. So he'll be moving to a new home in Cannes, which is a lovely, comfortable, beautiful place for him to be. And Jean knew that. So she was at peace with that as well. So please remember the family at this time. This is the day. This is the day when tears are wiped away, shattered hearts amended, fears are replaced with joy. This is the day when the Lord rolls away the stone of fear, throws off death's clothes, goes ahead of us into God's future. This is the day that the Lord has made. Death has no fear for us. Sin has lost its power over us. God opens the tombs of our hearts to fill us with life. This is the day, Easter Day. Christ is risen. Hallelujah. And we sing our first hymn this morning, hymn 232, Christ the Lord is risen today. Hallelujah. I don't know if many of you followed the Lent talks that took place on Wednesdays, but if you're interested and can follow last Wednesdays, I would like to recommend it. I think it was absolutely fantastic. Kathy is the vicar of St. Barnabas in Gorse Hill. She is also the Diocese of Bristol's racial justice advocate. And what I admired about her, her tone of voice was peaceful for the 45 minutes she spoke. I'm still trying to find out how she manages that. And the depth and beauty and love, she is also a poet. So a lot of the images she used were filled with beauty and absolutely fantastic. And just, she begins by saying, I was born an outsider, being outside twice before I became an insider. Family, Nigerian background, her father a diplomat, he worked as a diplomat in Jerusalem. So she was attending a school in Jerusalem as somebody who looked rather different from everybody else in Jerusalem. And then in her ministry. If you can look for it and follow it, it's really, really worth following. Excellent talk. And the 3 hours yesterday, he was a great speaker. Simon Taylor, if I'm not mistaken, whose book, one of the books he's written is How to Read the Bible and Not Leave Your Brain Out of It. I thought that was a very interesting approach to it. And But again, Wednesday and Friday at Christchurch were really excellent contributions to our journey in Lent. And now let us approach God in words of prayer. And we will include towards the end of this the Lord's Prayer said all together. Let us pray. You are a surprising God. When humanity thought they had everything clear, under control, you never did what we expected. And you continue to surprise us. Very early on that first resurrection day, you caught chaos unaware, planting grace in a garden, setting love loose on creation, flinging joy into the air. Jesus, Son of Justice, very early on that first day, you staggered sin, throwing its weight off the world. You confounded death, leaving it alone in the grave. You open the gates of the kingdom so that all could follow you into life. On that very first day of the week, while we were washing sleep from our eyes and trying to make sense of our lives, you sang glad songs to us, rolling away fears from our hearts so that we could see the risen Lord. Very early on that first day of the week, we gather here together with your people in every corner of the earth that today gather. We lift our prayers to you. You created all that is good and beautiful. It all began with a child in a manger. It followed by a family having to flee the powers of the time to save life. You preached, you talked, you welcomed. Nobody was a stranger and nobody was foreign to you. You shocked the disciples. You talked to women, even to Samaritans. You shared your power. You gave back hope. You showed us that the good news was something that we too have and can share. We come to you on this very, very special day. And here at the front of the church, we have the empty cross, and during the service, it will be transformed. We come with the weight of all that separates us from you and from each other. We confess how human we are, but again, our humanity is your gift. I think we'd each of us agree that we haven't done a lot of evil things, but often we have failed to do the little good we could do. We accept that the witness of the angel on an empty tomb invites us to go and share. But we recognize that sharing this news with friends and neighbors doesn't always come easy to us. Fill us with life when we are tired and stressed. Give us the energy to serve your creation that is under threat. May our hardened hearts be filled with grace. Forgive us for our mistakes, our indifference, our matter-of-fact way of living life. Give us a new life. Prepare us for the joy of sharing the resurrection. Call us again and again and again to be your people. Remind us that even where you bear the marks of the cross, your outstretched arms are all embracing. You call us by our name, and you want to fill us with peace. Forgive us. Restore us, lead us. We are your children. Your children in this world, with your children everywhere. Make us new, different from anything that we were before, because the tomb is empty. And the cross will be covered in flowers. To you be the glory. As your children, we say together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Hymn 238 will prepare us for hearing the reading of the word immediately afterwards. Good Christians, all rejoice and sing.
Thank you. The reading is from Matthew chapter 28, verses 1 to 10. And you can find it on page 32 of the Bible. After the Sabbath, as the first day of the week was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And suddenly, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord, descending from heaven, came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothing white as snow. For fear of him, the guards shook and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid. I know that you are looking for Jesus, who was crucified. He is not here, for he has been raised, as he said. Come, see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, 'He has been raised from the dead, and indeed he is going ahead of you to Galilee, and there you will see him.' This is my message for you." So they left the tomb quickly with fear and great joy and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly, Jesus met them and said, "Greetings." And they came to him, took hold of his feet, and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me." This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you very much, Jean, for leading us. And now the choir will sing the anthem for this morning, "He is Risen."
Thank you.
After having heard the anthem, "He is risen," I light the candle that we've been lighting for weeks, the peace candle where we pray. Do you see? It's biblical. You try and put the light out afterwards. You think it's a joke, but the light won't go out. No, it was very symbolic. But the peace candle, in the midst of war, destruction, death, near and far, fear, the light shines, and we believe that life is stronger than death. Let us pray. God of new creation, from the womb of earth you raised the Lord of life. May we receive the word of women who braved the soldier's spears and met him in the dawning light. May we live with morning joy that love will never die. Through Jesus Christ, the resurrection and the life. Amen. Holy Week is a reminder. There's been a battle going on the whole time. Two powers were confronting reality. On one hand, the power of the empire, and on the other, the power of the kingdom of God. The one affirms the cross as its intimidating reality. It wants submission and will go to any cost to achieve this. It is based on fear, on domination. The other turns to the empty tomb and proclaims that there is grace and there is hope. One is supported by soldiers with spears, the other by the women going to tend the dead. And that tension continues today. That tension, though we know how it ends, we've sung it, we've read it, we've proclaimed it in the hymns we've sung and the ones we are going to sing. We are going to transform that cross into a burst of flowers and color, because what we say, what we believe, is it like that, it will be transformed into something totally different. Have you ever thought what the resurrection story would be if the women weren't part of the story? If we took them out of the equation? Well, quite clearly, many of the details we now know, we would not know, or would have taken much longer to get to us. Because it's the women who begin the trip early in the morning. They're going to the tomb, even before it's light. While the disciples, well, they're somewhere else. Have they woken up? Did they sleep or not? Because they were quite good at sleeping. Do you remember when Jesus asked them to stay in the garden awake with him? Three times he found them asleep. So, I mean, sleep under stress was not something that affected them too much. But it was their humanity, it was their fear. They didn't know what was coming, but neither did the women. The story begins with little, if no sense of anything other than the darkness of death. Light of the new day is just beginning. The sadness of the Friday and the waiting of the Saturday are still heavy on the hearts. And the women aren't going to an empty tomb. They are going to a tomb to attend to a body. And their big question is, how are we going to get in? There, outside the tomb, they know there are guards, soldiers with spears, whose life depends on everything being sealed and in proper order. The rumor had got round that he was going to come back to life, and that could not happen. So the guards were there to make sure that nobody came in the middle of the night and stole the body and then said, oh, look, look, resurrection, resurrection. No, it can't happen. Everything the powers that be had that could keep the situation as it was were put in place. But unbeknown to them, there was so much else going on. While the women are walking to prepare the body, the earth shakes. This is a silly question. Does it shake only for them? Does it shake only in that space where they're heading to? Because it doesn't give the impression through the story that anybody else has felt the earth shaking. An angel appears. The stone that covered the entrance to the tomb is rolled back. Meaning what? Well, basically meaning that the unthinkable has happened. Those who were on the outside wondering how to get in can now go in. While the one that was inside and should have stayed there forever and ever, amen, is wandering around. He's not here. He's moving from one place to another. And as a sign of newness, in the Gospel of Matthew, we read about the angel. And what does he do? He sits on the stone. He just sits on it. A resting place. It's from that position that he speaks to the women. The stone has been moved. The stone that was the sign of power. We determine the inside and the outside. It's been moved. And he just sits on it. The angel sits on it. And I can imagine him smiling. It is no longer a barrier. It is a place to share. To begin something new that nobody has ever imagined before. When a few Sundays ago we talked about the resurrection of Lazarus, which was stunning, which was surprising, one of the things we can always say, Lazarus came back to life, but was going to die again. And that's the big difference with Jesus. A few days ago, I went to Bristol to the Victoria Methodist Church. There was an exhibition of the part of the collection of the modern art collection the Methodist Church has, Christian art. And there was one painting in particular, if you could only see it. I've got a small copy of it for you here today. And most of you won't be able to discern it very much. But if anybody wants, there are a few copies on the lectern, on the Amnesty lectern there. Feel free to take one. It's called The Empty Tomb. It's by an artist called Richard Babin. I don't know if you can see very much of it, but there's probably one thing that you can see. In the midst of all the darkness, here in this corner, you will see light. This is taken from the inside of the tomb. And as somebody pointed out to me the other day, so it's not empty. Somebody's inside it, helping us understand what's going on. The clothes, the robes are here, and there are 6 steps to the outside. We've got to go up those steps to be able to get outside. But on the outside you can see, or from the inside you can see, half the stone and all the light shining in. And the light shines onto the stone steps, shines to the bed in which the body was resting. The light just pours in. It's an impressive painting. And there lies the whole story. It's the view from the inside. And it is reminding us that wherever we are in this story, we will have to go up those steps to go out of our own secluded, sometimes safe place. Up those steps and out into the light, because that is where life is taking place. That is the story that makes all stories different. This is the promise for those who have gone before us and those we are walking with now. The rolled stone will let the light pour in. Light overcomes darkness, and it cannot be put out. The light of Christ will never be put out. And this is what the painting is trying to tell us. And this is what the short 10 verses that Jean read for us just now. And yet they were all going to seek the dead. And it was very difficult for any of them to accept anything different. Most terrified at this, the soldiers. If it's discovered that the body has gone, their life is in danger. If you read other Gospels, you'll find out the authorities of the church will pay, will bribe, so there is no problem for them. They are the instruments of the empire. They become like dead. And when Matthew writes that, he knows what he's saying. Those who were there to guard the dead, to stay dead, become like dead. The women, agents of the kingdom, are now confronted by the message, "Don't be afraid." Easier said than done. "He's not here. Come and see. You can come in now." And then go and tell. Go and tell. And then Jesus appears. And in such a matter-of-fact way, only one word recorded. "Greetings. Hello. What are you doing here?" "What do you mean what we're doing here? We were coming to tend to your body." "You don't have to." His greetings, his hello, is as, "Well, you knew this was going to happen." "Well, we'd heard it was going to happen." We're not too sure that we knew it was going to happen. We need it to happen. And this is the story of our lives today. We need it to happen. Because it breaks through everything that limits life. And meanwhile, the angel just sat on the rock, smiling away, imagining one day they'll begin to understand. One day the penny will drop. It's the day to change all days. It's no longer a symbol of fear, but it is a symbol of our limitation. It's still used as a sign of oppression and abuse of power. But it is becoming the symbol of change and newness, the values of the kingdom, not based on oppression, but on liberation. Liberation from fear, liberation from all that truly limits us. And this is what God is teaching us on this day. Resurrection is summed up in the words that are repeated in the Bible time and time again. Don't be afraid. Because in as much as we live in that fear, we are prisoners of that fear. Don't be afraid. Go and tell. And this is where we are today. I look round, and there are things that I worry about, things that fill me with fear, things that make me furious, things which make me say, this is not life as God intended it to be. And our mission is to say, no. The morning of resurrection is the newness that God wants. Go and tell. Go and tell that life in all its expansion is God's gift. According to the empire, the occupied tomb should be the end of all and forever, and it wasn't. For God and the kingdom, resurrection is just going up those steps, running the risk of going through and out into the light. It is the change from fear to hope, from silence to good news shared. It transforms a paralyzing life into a life of running and sharing with others. This is what the resurrection means. And in the world we live in today, to go and tell the news of the resurrection is as urgent and as necessary as it was that first morning. Do not be afraid. Go and tell. And Jesus adds the words with which the reading ended. There they will see me. And on that rock, still sitting there and smiling, is the angel that says, the journey is just beginning. We are not alone. We have to try and walk up those 6 steps, or whatever the number is, into the light and take people with us. Show them that the light is there. The liberation of the risen Christ is the proclamation of all that is new and continues to be new. That is what resurrection is about. Inasmuch as many millions of people live in fear, in worry, in war, in persecution, in discrimination, the tomb is still closed. But we know it's not. So things have to be different. Our faith is the faith in life, in light, in hope. May the love of God guide us to share the good news. Amen. Hymn 234, and after we've sung this hymn, get ready to decorate the cross with flowers, with light, with colour, from dryness of death to the explosion of life. Because after that service, that cross will be put outside for the world to see. Meanwhile, hymn 234.
Come, let us pray.
Come, there are flowers that can be shared. I think most people have flowers. And let us do what we do on Easter Sunday. Turn that into a wonderful statement of life.
Look at the two flowers standing beside the cross already.
You too.
Thank you.
Sometimes the task ahead can be complicated, can be difficult, and sometimes it's as simple as putting a flower up to be held. It makes a difference. Our prayers of intercession, followed by the offering. And the prayers of intercession this morning are the ones we share with the United Reformed Church up and down the country. Let us pray. O risen Christ, you conquered death and came with new life. We rejoice in all that you have made possible over the centuries and still make possible today, even in the most difficult places and times. We give you thanks that you came offering new life for all people. We pray today for your new life to come in the people and situations we will remember today. God, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for those who are refugees, those who are excluded from the possibility of new and a safe country. We pray for those who are victims of racism, of oppression, and any form of discrimination, and who are not seen as people to be celebrated as bearers of your gifts. We pray for the increasing number living on the streets in this country because they have no home. Loving Jesus, may your possibility of new life for all be seen by those who are in authority and power, so that they may make decisions that positively affect the lives of all vulnerable people. God, in your mercy, hear our prayer. God of all life, we pray for politicians across the islands and across the world. Open their eyes to see your vision of life offered equally for all. We pray for the new political leaders in Scotland and Finland, and for all who wield authority, that this may not be just for the strong and the wealthy, but fully embrace the weak and the poor. God, in your mercy, hear our prayer. God of peace, in Jesus you came to conquer death and open the path of life. We pray for those who are victims of war and conflict, especially in Ukraine and Russia, for parts of Africa and Asia. We remember those who have been the victims of shootings in the United States of America and the debates they are holding there about gun ownership. Open new doors to your ways of peace. O God, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Living Jesus, Son of the Father and Creator of the world, we pray for the coming of your new life in all of creation. As we open our eyes and see the springtime leaves on the trees, the opening of the buds on the flowers, as we have just decorated the cross, help us to see the possibility of the renewal of environment, that it may become what you would have it to be. O God, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Risen Jesus, through your resurrection, you brought life and hope into the people's troubled lives. We pray for those we know whose lives are filled with struggles and suffering. And in this silence, in a moment, we offer to you those who are particularly on our hearts and minds today. And we pray for new life to be present.
We pray for those who work for healing, especially those who are in the National Health Service, struggling with so many issues. We give thanks for the new offering of COVID boosters and pray that these may be fruitfully offered and received. God, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for the church, for our church here, for the Old Town Partnership of Churches, for the church in this country and the world, that we may be renewed by your presence to witness to you and serve you more fully, that new life may overflow into the world around. God, as church, we remember those who are lonely, forgotten. We pray for those who have nobody else that'll care for them. We pray for those who shed tears, and for those who feel unsafe and lonely. O God, in your mercy, hear our prayer. As we celebrate the resurrection, we remember those who have died and those who are mourning the loss of loved ones. We give you thanks for the lives of those who have gone before us. We give you thanks for what we learned from them, what we shared, what we remember, and for the ways they impacted the lives of others. O Lord, dry all tears. Encourage those who are in doubt. You, the loving and caring God, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And we turn to you, praying for your new life to come again and again and again into our lives and the life of your world today. In your holy name, we offer these prayers. May your will be done. Amen. And let us now share what we have been able to set apart for this time of the offering. O Lord, we are aware the world needs signs of your love. And we pray that this offering here in the plate and what we give in different ways, the use of our time, our talents, and our possessions, may be that sign. O Lord, multiply the offering and multiply who we are and what we give, so that your name may be glorified forever and ever. Amen. And we share the words of the grace together. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen. Thank you.
Thine be the glory, risen, conquering Son. Endless is the victory. Thou, O death, has won. Hymn 247.
We've heard the news, and the news was followed by the instruction, go and share, go and tell. And when you do, just think of that angel sitting comfortably on the open tomb, smiling, because that is what is possible for us. The power of the Creator who brings life out of death, be with you wherever you are. The risen Christ be your constant companion. The healing embrace of the Holy Spirit encircle you, so that you may see resurrection every step of the way and be renewed. Go in peace. Know that you are loved. Love and rejoice. Amen.